Evening, everyone. Let's start with review. So the last thing we were talking about was the last line of the first Mishnah in chapter 2, and it was about pebbles. And the line said, if an animal kicked up pebbles as it was walking and the pebbles broke something, the owner pays half damages. Now, the rule for typical or usual behavior is full damages, and unusual danger behavior, is half damages. Pebbles should really be considered usual. So it should be full damages, but we have a tradition, the rabbis ruled it to be half. And if you'll remember, Sumachus, the rabbi with the Greek name, was the disagreeer. And we won't be talking about pebbles tonight. But where are pebbles liable? So that was a slight shift in the conversation, which was instead of talking about how much, we were talking about where. So what is the liability for pebbles, depending on where the damage takes place? And we had a long discussion between Rabbi Yirmiah, and he was pounding Rabbi Zeira. And the conclusion was that there was no difference when it comes to half damages, whether they occur in the public or the private domain. You are always obligated for that. Next was Steve's favorite, damage done by swishing. That is an animal wagging its tail or another part of its anatomy. And the conclusion was that tail swishing is a usual behavior, and therefore it is exempt in the public domain. When I say it is exempt, that really is shorthand for the owner is exempt from paying damages. And finally, chickens and string, which is not a dish you eat, but it was about chickens who get tied up in string. And the question was, who is liable for the damages, the string owner or the chicken owner? And there was some discussion of chickens kicking up pebbles and kicking up strings that knock things. But the basic answer was there was no liability for the owner of the chicken. Anyone have any questions on those things? No? Then we start off. So we start off with the second Mishnah in Perek 2, in chapter 2. And the first Mishnah, just to recapitulate a little, was teaching us laws about dealing with damages done by the foot or the regel of the animal through walking. And this Mishnah is going to teach damages done by the animal's tooth, which is the shein or eating. Now, the Mishnah will not deal at all with vicious biting by an animal, but with an animal that damages by eating something. Now, the first Mishnah is called Ketzad HaShein, HaRegel, how the foot, which is very famous. Remember, you always refer to what you're learning by the name, the first words of the Mishnah. Now we go to Ketzad HaShein, how the tooth. Now, this Mishnah is going to deal with several issues, not pebbles. First, what does an animal eat, thereby causing an owner, its owner to be liable? Second, differences in liability based on where the animal eats. Okay. And then something new, two different levels of liability, a greater level on which the owner is obligated to pay the actual cost of the damages, and a lesser level, and this is what's new, in which the owner pays for the benefit the animal had. And this will all become clear as we go through, hopefully. So here, the Mishnah, I've broken it into three parts. And the first part, again, is Ketzad HaShein, how is the animal muad? And remember, muad here means usual, not dangerous. It means like known. So how is the tooth usual to eat that which is fit for it? And the fit for it is important. So the answer is, a beast is muad to eat fruits and vegetables. Nothing new there. An animal wants to eat produce. However, something new here, what if the animal eats clothing or utensils? In other words, things that are not fit for it, things which would be unusual, he pays half damages. So just for the example, if my cat goes into your house and eats your cupcake, I am liable for the cupcakes that he ate. However, if he eats your mail, I am liable for only half of the damages. Part two of the Mishnah. Bamed varim amorim. When is this so? In other words, what is the case? In the domain of the damaged party, the victim, this is true. But in the public domain, he is exempt. So I am liable when my animal goes onto your property and eats your vegetables. But I am not liable if you carelessly leave your vegetables in the public domain and my animal eats them. And we'll refine this idea at the end of the Mishnah. And finally, part three, where we have something new. If it benefited, he pays what it benefited. How does he pay? What it benefited. So this is a new type of payment we haven't seen before. It is compensation for that which the animal benefited and not for the damage it caused. So, example again. Let's say you leave an expensive cut of steak in the public domain. My animal comes along and eats it. The damages might be $100. However, I would not normally feed my animal steak. I would usually feed him cheap dog food. So I am only obligated to pay for the amount of dog food that I would have fed the animal. because now I don't have to feed him. He already ate. So paying for the benefit is usually much less than paying for damages. And finally, we have this. From the middle of the street, he pays what it benefited. From the sides of the street, he pays for the damage. From in front of the store, he pays for what he benefited. From inside the store, he pays for the damage. So this is a refining of the end of the Mishnah, meaning if you leave things in certain places in the public domain, it is not considered carelessness and the owner of the damaging animal would be liable. Now, this is a little cryptic. So we're gonna get to one of my favorite things, which is realia. What did an actual marketplace look like? So yes, part of the audiovisual aid. This is the Cardo in Jerusalem, which some of you may have walked down. Cardo is like cardiac. It means the central way. And this is very typical of what a marketplace looked like in the ancient world. So you have
very nice picture.
Thank you. This is actually a photograph of the Cardo in Jerusalem. There's a painting on the wall, and I stole the picture, and my son came over and said, why is there a modern kid in the picture? And I said, what are you talking about? From the lower right corner, there's a kid with a backpack. So I guess that's kind of a joke. And there is an actual column like you see there. So the middle is the street, is what the Mishnah was talking about. And that's the public street. And on either sides, you have an arcade, which is created by columns with a roof. And in the arcade, you have actual stores. So this is the ShopRite of the year zero. And to go back to the Mishnah now, here we go. So number one is the middle of the street. And here you pay what the animal ate. You pay what it benefited. There's no damages because it's public. Then you have two, which are the sides of the street, and those are considered private. That's really public versus private. So that's the private area of the shopkeeper. There you pay for damages. However, three, which is a little hard to see in the picture, that's the actual entranceway to the store. And what happens, shopkeepers, just like today, we have those big iron gates that come down. Shopkeepers had something they placed over a shutter that they placed over their entranceway. And when they opened, they took the shutters out and they laid it down in front of the store, kind of like to make a path, and they put goods on it. So this is what the Gemara calls the entrance to the store. And this is considered, now again, public property, just like the middle of the street, because it's a thoroughfare, because people are passing by. And the last piece is inside the store, which of course I can't really show you, but there again, the damages, it's considered a private domain and the damages would be assessed, not the benefit. Everyone got that? Everyone good with the realia? Okay, that's my audio visual, but I had fun getting it. So as usual, we start with a baraita, and the rabbis start off by quoting the very first sentence of the Mishnah, which is, the tooth is muad, is usual to eat that which is fit for it. How so? Which now means again, what are you talking about specifically? What case are we talking about? So we get two cases here. First is an animal that enters the victim's premises, his private property, eats food that is fit for it, or drinks liquids that are fit for it, which was not in the Mishnah, you pay full damages. Similarly, a wild beast that enters the victim's premises, tears an animal and eats its flesh. You may remember from last session or the one before, we had this whole discussion about lions and how they eat animals. Do they tear it up first or they put it away or whatever? But here it's, he tears it up and eats it, you pay full damages. And obviously the connection is in both cases, the thing the animal eats, domestic or wild, is considered something appropriate for them to eat, which means it's usual, which means therefore we pay full damages. Pretty straightforward so far. But now we want to expand on this baraita. So a cow that ate barley, or a donkey that ate vetches is a kind of fodder, or a dog that licked oil, or a pig that ate a piece of meat, he pays full damages. So what's going on here? This is where these are animal foods that an animal doesn't normally eat, but it is fit for an animal to eat. So for example, we don't know this because we're not, I was gonna say farmers, but animal raisers. Apparently it is normal for a cow to eat vetches and a donkey to eat barley. So they're inverted to show you this is not what they normally eat. So because they are things that are fit to eat, even though they're not necessarily the regular food, the owner is still liable for full damages.
What if you invite them into your house?
That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I can't answer. I'll try to find out, Larry.
You might try the Book of Judges.
Okay. Sounds like you're looking up something.
Yeah, chapter 20, the very interesting story of Micah, I think it is, where he's invited into, he stops at a person's house and he said, and the person says, you can use my house. And the traveler says, I have enough food for my animals and my people. And he says, yes, but you're my guests. So come in and eat what I provide for you. It's chapter 20 of the book of Judges. You might find it.
We'll look it up. I will look it up. All right, so now we have Rabbi Papa expanding on the Baraita. Now that you have said that anything which is not usual, but it ate out of necessity, is considered eating with quotation marks, meaning we're going to put this in the legal definition of, as far as the Mishnah goes, of eating something. Then he wants to expand it. So a cat that eats dates or a donkey that eats fish, again, apparently these are things that are not normal for them to eat, but they're not necessarily unusual. You still pay full damages. So if you think of things your dog or cat will eat, but not under normal situations, that's helpful here. And what's going on is the Gemara is trying to define eating as opposed to destroying. So for example, if your dog might eat something from the dinner table it won't normally eat, like in our case, once it ate health salad, but it's still food. However, if your dog chews your slippers, that's not eating, that's destroying. Okay, another case. A certain donkey that ate bread and chewed the basket that the bread came in. What should be the ruling here? Rabbi Yehuda obligated the owner to pay full damages for the bread and half damages for the basket, right? It's following along the same logic that it is normal for the donkey to eat the bread. It is unusual for the donkey to eat the basket. But why? Since it was usual for the donkey to eat bread, is it also usual to chew the basket? Where it ate, then chew. In other words, this is only if the donkey ate the basket after it had eaten all of the bread. That's where they're making the distinction. If it ate the basket at the same time it ate the bread, then it's liable for full damages for the whole thing.
The basket is recyclable, right? You can use the bit. Well, no, it makes sense. You can reuse the basket, you can't reuse the food.
Correct. That's the question, though, is it unusual, because the basket was made out of some kind of plant material, was it unusual for a donkey to do that?
If it's normal food for the donkey, yeah, it's not unusual.
Well, so Rabbi Yehuda is coming along here to say it's not unusual if he eats it after, it's unusual if he eats it with. You know, context is everything. But is bread usual? In other words, is it normal for a donkey to eat bread? They raised the contradiction. It ate bread or meat or cooked food. He pays half damages. Is this not referring to a domestic animal? No, to a wild animal.
I think they got their animals mixed up.
So the Talmud is citing a Baraita according to which bread is not a normal food for an animal, and therefore it pays only half damages. But this is contradicting what Rabbi Papa, said previously. So how do they resolve that? They say, oh, we're really talking about a wild beast, not about a donkey, because domesticated animals eat bread. Now, before we go on, you'll see here, it says if it ate bread or meat. So the Gemara wants to challenge this now because it's saying meat is normal. A wild beast, meat is its usual food. So once again, how do we interpret the Braita that says wild beasts aren't meat eaters? But they certainly eat meat. We know that they eat meat. So therefore, we're missing something. And what we're missing is three separate answers to try to resolve this. The first is it was roasted meat. In other words, it wasn't just raw meat laying around. It was actually cooked meat in a dish. Or if you prefer to say it is a deer, because deer apparently do not normally eat meat. Or if you prefer, say, in fact, a domesticated animal, and it refers to a table. So the Beraita is referring to a domesticated animal, but one that eats bread off a table. And the placement, therefore, makes it unusual. Right? Eating from the floor is not unusual. Eating off the table is usual. Rashi, now that's one way to understand that. The other way is to say, we're talking about eating a table, which is a little weird. Rashi says, it's an animal that climbs on top of the table and then eats the meat. So you can take your pick over which explanation you like. Now we're going to continue again with this discussion of what's normal. A certain goat saw a turnip on top of a barrel. He climbed up and went up and ate the turnip and broke the barrel. So Rava says that the owner of the goat pays full damages for the turnip and for the barrel. Why? Because while it is usual to eat the turnip, it is also usual for a goat to climb up on something to eat. So therefore, he's liable for full damages for everything here. Okay. So now remember, this is a different topic. An animal that eats food in the public domain is exempt. The owner is exempt from damages. Now here we have Ilfa, who is a first generation Palestinian Amora and the study partner of Rabbi Yochanan. And he says, an animal in the public domain that stretches its neck and eats from the back of another animal, he is liable. Why? Because you could make the argument, we know an animal that eats in the public domain is not liable. So what's different here? And the Talmud's answer is, the back of an animal is like a private domain, the domain of the damaged party. So therefore, he becomes liable rather than being exempt. So now we have lema masa e le. This means, shall we say the supports him? This is a Talmud term that introduces a proof from a Beraita to support an Amora that will be rejected, which I realize is a lot of words and a lot of explanation, but it's one of those things when you learn Talmud, when you see this phrase, you know someone's gonna come up with a statement that seems to work, but ultimately it's wrong. So it's a good help for you to figure out. So we do that by quoting a Beraita, which is, if his bundle, and now we're talking about a person, was slung behind him and an animal came along and stretched out its neck and ate from it, the animal is liable. The owner is liable, I'm sorry. So here too, the assumption is the location of the food is considered to be a private domain within the public domain. So once again, if the man with the pack, or I should say the person with the pack, had left that food laying in the street, then the owner of the animal would be exempt. But because it's on his back, it's now considered private property, and therefore he's liable. And that seems to support what we just heard about the cow doing that from the back of another cow. But the Talmud rejects this, and they cite Rava here. So just as Rava said with regard to jumping, so too here with regard to jumping. Now, the Gemara is saying that Rava is saying that the animal had to jump up to get to the food. So this now becomes unusual, and it is now considered the horn rather than the tooth. And as such, the owner would be liable for half damages. So you will say at this point, Steve, where did Rava come from? Right? We're quoting him, but we don't know what he's talking about.
I was just going to say that too.
That's why I named you.
Thank you.
So where was Rava's statement? What's the context? So we're getting at the context of Rava saying it was jumping. Rava is referring to a puzzling statement made by Rabbi Oshaya. He said, with regard to what Rabbi Oshaya said, an animal in the public domain going along and eating is exempt. Standing and eating is liable. So it's a puzzling statement, right? Why should the animal be liable? I keep saying that the owner be liable if it was standing and eating as opposed to walking and eating, right? Because standing and eating, the theory goes like this: walking and eating is typical, is usual. And so is standing and eating is usual. And animals are exempt for usual actions done in the public domain. And indeed, that's the question. Why this difference with walking, which is usual? Standing is also usual. And Rava said, no, it was jumping. So he's interpreting that to mean we agree standing is normal, we agree walking is normal, but jumping is unusual, is not normal, and therefore full liability. We move on to a new sugya. Rabbi Zera says, rolling what? And again, I'm always trying to give you the way the Talmud sounds. So what's his question? He's talking about a case where you have an object that started in the private domain and rolled out or pushed out into the public domain, and an animal came along and ate it. So what is the case? And it's just what I said. Grain was standing in the private domain. You had a sheaf, bale of hay, and it rolled into the public domain and an animal ate it. My, what is the law? Tashma, come and hear that which Rabbi Chiya taught. Rabbi Chiya was a sage in the land of Israel during the generation transitioning between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. And so he's going to quote a source in the land of Israel, a load that was partly inside and partly outside. So a little different. You have the bale of hay and it's in your doorway. So part of it's inside your house, part of it's outside your house. If the animal ate the inside part, the owner is liable for full damages. If he ate the outside part, he is exempt from damages. And again, inside is the private domain, outside is the public domain. So the assumption is Rabbi Chiya is saying that something rolling from the private domain to the public domain would be, since he ate it outside in the public domain, he'd be exempt. And that's what the, is it not rolling and coming? No, the Talmud rejects this. Say, if it ate for what is inside, he is liable. For what is outside, he is exempt. The load of grain in Rabbi Chiya's case was not rolling from one domain to the other. It was half in, half out. And we just got the liability. So we can't use that logic for the rolling thing. And they come along and they say, well, then how do we understand Rabbi Chiya? Well, he's talking about aspasta. And what is that? Rashi says aspasta is some kind of an animal fodder. It comes from a Persian word, ifsifi, which means clover. And it's a fodder that cuts and regrows three times a month. So it's a really fast growing weed. And that's why it would grow on the inside and grow fast to the public domain, and there the animal would eat it. Okay, end of that topic. Now, even though we just had it, we're going to recapitulate the Mishnah in the beginning. And we're now moving on to the second part of the Mishnah in green. So the beast is normal to eat fruits and vegetables. Eating clothing or utensils, you pay half damages. When is this so? In the private domain, but in the public domain, he's exempt. All right, so that's all of one piece. So again, we'll start off by restating the Mishnah. Eating clothing or utensils. To which? So again, that's a puzzling line. So again, it's Talmudic term that after we quoted the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to raise a question on it, meaning which means if the previous statement is being disputed or modified. So in other words, the Mishnah asked, when is this so? Right? It seems like we have a clear-cut Mishnah. Clothing utensils, pay half damages. If that's true, then the Mishnah comes along and says, when is this so? It's now qualifying that statement. It's not just a universal statement. And the way it's qualifying it is throwing in the domain, which is, if you think about it for a second, it's kind of not really connected to what it's eating, to where it's eating. So the questions being asked is, are these two statements, the first two statements, right? The fruit, vegetables, clothing, utensils, is that both of them are only true depending on the domain? Or is it just the clothing and utensils? And that's why the Mishnah asks, when is this so? There we go. So Rav said, to all, Rav is a first generation Palestinian Amora, and he's the nephew of the previous Rabbi Chiya. And he's saying that the answer refers to the entire Mishnah. Fruits, vegetables, clothing, utensils. What's his reasoning? Anyone who deviates and another comes along and deviates, he is exempt. So he's saying, and deviates here means does something unusual. Since the owner of the clothing did something unusual by leaving it in the public domain, the owner of the animal is exempt even if it did something unusual, like eat the clothing. It's almost like two wrongs don't make a right, or maybe they do. And this is despite the fact that generally you are liable for unusual things in the public domain. So in this case, the injured party left his garment or his vessel in the public domain, and he thereby deviated from normal behavior. And the owner of the animal acted atypically and ate them. So therefore, double deviance, he's exempt.
That's very similar to the old civil law of contributory negligence. I mean, it's no longer the law in most of the United States, but historically, if you were negligent and somebody else was negligent and hurt you, you couldn't collect damages if your negligence contributed to it.
That's interesting. Double negligence. Makes sense. So this is Rav's reasoning. But Shmuel said, and Rav and Shmuel are a famous pair. Rav is Shmuel's study partner, and he was also a mathematician. He argues against Rav. He's saying it was taught only about fruits and vegetables, but for clothing and vessels, he is liable. And again, if we go back to the Mishnah, right? So the question is, again, are those first two sentences a pair, or is the when is this so only referring to the second? So Rav says they're a pair. They go together. Shmuel says, no, only the last part, the clothing and utensils. He's liable. And so too, Reish Lakish, to all. So Reish Lakish agrees with Rav that it's both sentences that are referring to the when is this stuff. And I like this here. Reish Lakish follows his own reasoning, which is the way you translate it, meaning in effect, he's consistent in his reasoning because he also said, now we have a different scenario. Two cows are in the public domain. One is squatting, and this doesn't mean squatting isn't like illegally occupying a building. He's literally laying on the ground, and one is walking. So if the walker kicks the squatter, the owner is exempt. But if the squatter kicks the walker, he is liable.
How could he do that orthopedically?
It's an interesting question. Why? Again, what's the reasoning here? Walking around in the public domain is usual. Therefore, if the lying animal kicks the walking animal, that is unusual, and therefore you are liable. But the walking animal kicking the squatting animal, that's not unusual, and therefore you are exempt. And now we have Rabbi Yochanan, who I mentioned earlier. He has another baraita. It was taught only about fruits and vegetables. Again, sentence one, but for clothing and vessels, he is liable. So Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel. An animal that eats fruits and vegetables, that's normal, exempt. But an animal that eats clothes and vessels is unusual and therefore liable. So he agrees, but shall we say Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with Reish Lakish, even with two cows? And the answer is no, he doesn't disagree with him. In fact, he agrees with him. Why? Because he makes the case that the case was based on the fact that it is unusual to leave clothes in the public domain. But he's saying, no, that's a common action because people come to a stop and they take off their coat and they drop it on the ground or something, or drape it on something. And therefore that is usual behavior.
quite unusual phenomenon that.
To eat a coat? I don't know. We need a goat expert here. Okay, so now we move along to the next part of the Mishnah, which is, and if it derives benefit. So remember that this is a new idea, that the owner of the animal is responsible for what the animal eats. So, comma, how much? The Talmud wants to know. And we have two opinions. Rabbah said the value of straw. Rabbah said the value of barley sold cheaply. So what does that mean? As I turn the page. So if my cow, we're back to the steak example, eats your expensive food in the public domain, in principle, I am exempt. But I do have to pay for what I benefited, meaning I just saved a meal for my cow. I don't have to feed him anymore. The question before us is, how do we assess this? Rabbah, a third generation Babylonian Amora, says the value of straw, and that is the cheapest thing possible. Rava, who is a fourth generation Babylonian Amora, he gives a little bit higher assessment, the value of cheap barley. So apparently, I'm not a farmer, cheap barley costs more than straw. But in either case, and here's what's important, the payment will be far less than the amount of damage the animal actually caused. Again, if it ate the steak, you don't get the steak back, you get the equivalent of steak for an animal. So, of course, we have a dispute about this. It was taught in accordance with Rabbah. It was taught in accordance with Rabbah. It was taught, meaning we are now going to present a baraita for each rabbi, each sage, that's going to back up their opinion. So first we go with Rabbah. It was taught in accordance with Rabbah, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's the famous rabbi behind Lag BaOmer, said, He pays only the value of straw. So basically, he's just backing up exactly what Rabba said, the value of straw. Nothing new here. It's just being spoken by a different rabbi. Now, Rabba, who said the cheap barley, it was taught in accordance with Rabba. If it derives benefit, he pays what is benefited. How so? They're restating the question. So if he ate one kav or two kavs, now a kav is a dry measure. It's like a bushel. We do not say he pays the value. Rather, we estimate how much an owner might be willing to feed his animal, something fit for it, even though it is not unusual. Therefore, so we'll stop there for a moment. So the Braita is saying that when an animal ate food that is fit for it, the owner pays for that food, even if he would not usually give that food to an animal. So if the animal ate barley, which is higher up on the food chain, the court would assess how much the animal would have eaten in barley. And that's in accordance with Rabba. And then he adds something different or additional. But if it ate wheat or something bad for it, then the owner is liable. So it's very dependent on what the animal eats. And that is the end of this sugya. Now, the next sugya is a long sugya, and it deals with the issue, this is like a trailer for next week, about a person who squats on rental property that he doesn't pay for. And rather than start it now, I decided we'll defer it to next week. So I thought it might be interesting to finish off with something we don't usually do, and this was something Dave Kalman always liked, which is these issues we've been talking about. What is the halakha? What's the actual ruling now that it's all fresh in your mind? And we are going to see the halakha summarized by Maimonides in the Mishnah Torah. So this material will come from chapter 3 of Hilchot Nizkei Mamon, which are the laws of damages to property. And it's in three parts. Here, I mean, this is a whole book with probably a dozen chapters and so on, but this is relevant to what we were studying. So to see something different, and I know it's the English and not the Hebrew, but I just want to give you a little taste for Maimonides. So first of all, what he's known for is how clearly he writes. And he does use the language of the Talmud, which you'll recognize, but it's clear and you really can understand it very well. That's something he's famous for. And the other thing he's kind of notorious for is he doesn't give you the arguments, which is we've seen all through Talmud. He in effect gives you the answer, but he never cites his sources. And for this, he was attacked viciously and his books were burned in his lifetime. And people have gone through and looked up all his sources. People have challenged him. In fact, in the printed editions of Maimonides, there's his archenemy, the Ra'avad, who disputes him on everything in very harsh language. Like he'll say, this is stupid. He doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to go through these three slides to show you what we've been talking about. And you can kind of weigh it against what we just read. So it is usual that an animal is prone to eat fruit, vegetables, or the like. Therefore, if it enters a domain belonging to another person and eats produce that it would normally eat, he is liable for the entire amount of the damages, right? It can't be clearer than that. The three dots means Maimonides gives a proof text. I said he doesn't cite Talmud, but he will do biblical verses. And I left it out because it's one we've seen many times, and this is the one about if a person sends forth his animal into another person's field, then the payment for that will be extracted from the choice field. but if it ate produce belonging to another person in the public domain, he is not liable. And that's, again, the second sentence. If it ate produce belonging to another person in the public domain, he is not liable. Finally, if it benefits, the owner must pay for the benefit, but not for the damage. And he's not talking here about, well, he will in a moment. When is this so? If it entered another person's domain and ate sesame seeds, chestnuts, or the like that were worth a dinar, he must pay a dinar. However, if in the public domain and derived benefit, we consider them as if they were barley or fodder, and he pays the wholesale price of fodder or barley. So again, in the private domain, you pay exactly for the food you eat. But if you're in the public domain, you pay the cheapest food equivalent. And well, just those very last slides about straw, barley, whatever, right? Here's your answer. He's telling you what the answer is. And finally, if an animal ate foods that are harmful to it, for example, wheat, since it did not derive any benefit, he is not liable. He doesn't have to pay anything. What about our clothing or utensils? If it ate substances it would not usually eat, like garment or utensil, you pay half damages, whether in the private domain or in the public domain. So for non-food, he pays half damages. And finally, he gives that same nod to human behavior. This is unusual because this is what people do. They leave their utensils and the garments in the public domain while they rest. So again, doesn't waste words, gives you the answer. And that is the answer. So with that.
Yashikov.